You're listening to Devoted Podcast, a mini-series hosted by Virginia Tech Chi Alpha. Our prayer is that this podcast would encourage you to stay devoted to God, His Word, and His people. We hope you're inspired by today's episode.
Hey guys, welcome to the Devoted Podcast. I'm Vivi.
And I'm Marv.
And today,
we'll be talking a little bit about the spiritual warfare, the armor of God, and yeah, let's just kind of letting the Spirit flow today. So yeah.
Okay, let's get into it. Yeah. So, what scripture you got pulled up there, Marv?
I want to start with the handy dandy, like Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 20. And I'll just go ahead and read that. So the Word of God reads, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Amen." So just kind of diving into that a little bit, like that sounds powerful. You know, a lot of times people, you know, they talk about armor God. And I mean, I'm people. You feel me? Like I be throwing that around a lot. And I just remember really fast, like last semester at a chem test. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just kept hearing how hard chemistry was about to be. And my mom, like, I got on the phone with her, and I was like, "Mom, I need you to pray for me." But, like, all day I've been asking God, like, "Yo, just put that armor on me. Like, put me on that full armor." And she just keeps laughing. And she's like, "You talking about put on that full armor, but, like, do you really know what it means? Mm. Like, do you know what it means to put on the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth? Like, do you know what it means to put those things on?" And so we kind of just laughed about it. And I was like, I mean, I got an idea, but... not really.
Yeah. You know. Which is so funny that we're going to this verse, because I grew up with my mom, like, praying this over me, like, every day before I went to school. And, like, even before I came to college, when I was coming to college, she was like, "You have to pray this over yourself." And I'd be like, "You need to chill out. It's not that deep." And now I'm like, no, my mom was doing something. Like, it is that deep. Like, I do need to be praying this over myself every single day, because it is... crazy wild and out here. But yeah, I don't think we truly understand how important and how necessary putting on the armor of God is. And it's just crazy to me that we just push it off, like brush it off, like if it wasn't that deep, like if the devil wasn't coming out here for our necks every single day. Not like it is that deep. Like, you better be praying that over you, your mom, your dad, your cat, your sister's best friend. Like, it's really that deep.
And to kind of just like go a little bit deeper onto that, especially when I talk to people who don't really too much understand the Spirit. And obviously I'm not sitting here saying like I know it inside and out, because we all really babies for real still. But when I think about it, I'll tell people, I'll be like, "Bro, you're having thoughts right now, but I can't see them manifesting themselves in reality. You're having feelings. I can't, unless you make a face or something like that, like I can't see your feelings manifest themselves in reality. You feel me? But you're still having them."
Yeah.
And so what I tell them, I'm like, "Yo, when the Bible says something about the Spirit, it's more real than your name being Vivi than my name being Mark." Like, this thing is serious.
Yeah.
It's saying that, like, yo, our battle isn't against flesh and blood. So it's not against your girlfriend that got you tweaking over here. It's not against your teacher who you feel like how to get you, or against your friends who you feel like backstabbing you. You got to get to the root.
Yeah.
And the root is in the Spirit. Yeah. You feel me? So a lot of times, like, people will, like, have those things and they want to talk about those things. I'm like, "Bro, right now we dealing with a bad tree and you trying to cut off the branches." Yeah. Like, bro, you got to get up under that root. And figure out what's going on over there. This is the root of everything right here. A lot of times, I know Amanda was talking about this at Kyle for, I think, what was it, last week? She was saying, like, a lot of Christians in America, we sit here and we read our word and things like that. And we're like, "Yo, God is so good." But we don't understand it. Like, the enemy is around like a prowling lion looking to steal, kill, and destroy. Like you can't believe that God is good and not believe that the enemy ain't around here. Yeah. You know what I'm saying, prowling around.
Yeah. And if you are naive to the fact that we do deal with a spiritual realm and we do deal with a spiritual world that we are physically blind to, well, at least most of us anyways, we can become the victim of that. It just reminds me of how Judas was Jesus' disciple.
Yes.
But he was not, like, on that. Like, he was not aware of, like, well, now I'm his disciple. The enemy is probably going to try to, like, come for my neck. Like, let me stay on my game. Like, let me stay alert. Like, let me not stop praying and, like, being in communion with Jesus. And then, you know, the enemy took over and Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And it was so sad. But, like, that's the truth. Like, even in our day-to-day lives, like, how the enemy can still use us to say things and do things that are not of the Lord if we are not aware of the spiritual realm and we're not praying, we're not asking the Lord for discernment and for wisdom, we can fall into a trap. And you know what I'm saying?
Literally.
Yeah.
Even the simple fact that Jesus was the Son of God and he was not exempt.
Exactly.
Like, you feel me? Satan was still trying to come in, you know what I'm saying, the wilderness, things like that. And he's sitting here staying prayed up, staying covered, and asking the Lord that his perfect, the Father, that his perfect will be done, and things of that nature. And it's like, bro, Jesus doing this, you best believe we not about to be exempt. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The enemy trying to go touch his disciples. So why you think we exempt from
that?
Exactly. That's crazy.
It's insane.
And so the thing is, like, bro, you can literally pack your bags up and go live in the quietest little street, have a Starbucks, a Chick-fil-A, everything right in walking distance. Yeah. Like, you chilling, but you still not exempt from this spiritual world. You will get this work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you better be ready. You better have your armor on. You better be ready to stand 10 toes. Like,
you better
call
on the Lord.
Not for real.
You've never had, like, those moments. Like, my mom is someone who fears the Lord, but there would be some times where anger would just take over and she would say something out of, you know, I'm like, whoa, like, that almost didn't feel like my mom.
Right.
Why? Because her armor wasn't on in that moment. Like, she wasn't protecting.
Exposed.
Yeah. She was, like, vulnerable, exposed, what you were saying. And I remember my youth group leader being like, you need to have grace for her sometimes, because even though she loves the Lord, sometimes she's still human. She doesn't protect her heart. She's going to fall into that little trap that the enemy has. So I guess my next question is, what are some guardrails that we can put in our lives, or, like, things that we can do to help us not fall into that trap or fall into that hole where the enemy is? Because he is prowling around like a prowling lion.
Yeah. The armor talks about the helmet of salvation and putting that on, and the belt of truth and putting that on.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about those things, like, it kind of brings me back a little bit. I have the scripture pulled up to 2 Corinthians verse 10. It says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take thought every captive to obey Christ. So when we think about like what the enemy will try to do, a lot of those things begin in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
As you begin to think about something and basically meditate on this thing, it begins to manifest itself in reality. That's why, you know, men and women of God and people who are farther in their walk, they say, like, meditate on the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you allow yourself to meditate on it, you're thinking about it, you're allowing it to occupy your mind, and then it becomes a belief.
Yeah.
And it becomes something in your heart. And now, you feel me? You walking in it. Like, it's in abundance. It's flowing out of you.
Yeah.
And so when you sit there and you begin to believe some of the things that the enemy may be trying to speak to you, you feel me? You're not taking every thought captive and making it obey Christ. Now you might have a problem. You sit there getting up in the morning like, bro, I'm ugly. Bro, what?
Yeah.
Like, God didn't say that about you.
Fearfully wonderful.
Wonderfully made. Yeah. OC. Like, you feel me? Do it different. Like, why is, what's up with this foolishness? Why are we getting up here doing that? Or, oh, I dress weird. Or, oh, I don't fit in. I'm not going to lie. That's something I dealt with, especially, like, early in my walk. Like, glory to God, he's, like, delivered me from it. But just being who I am, I'm a person who, you know what I'm saying, I like to make people feel comfortable and things like that. But, you know what I'm saying, I felt like growing up, people wasn't checking to see if I was comfortable.
Mm.
You feel me? So I get in a setting where, you know what I'm saying, it's a lot of men and women of God. And I'm like, maybe my life ain't right now.
Mm.
And so I step in this room and I'm sitting here feeling like I'm believing the lies of the enemy. Like, yo, you don't supposed to be in here.
Mm.
You don't deserve to be in here. You're not, quote unquote, holy enough to be in here. Just lies.
Lies,
And so I began to believe these things, and it changed the way that I was able to worship you. Mm-hmm. It changed the way I was able to to love people in that setting. Like, I'm sitting here ducked off in the back, cooling, not really allowing people to see me be vulnerable with the Lord, you know, saying whether that be crying or just worshiping and things like that.
Yeah.
It starts in the mind.
Yep.
And so, yeah.
In which you said something that reminds me of, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yes.
So, like, yes. I don't know where in the Bible that is, but it's scripture, guys, I promise. It's so true, like, but I think it goes even deeper than that, like, with the renewal of your mind. If all you're thinking about is things that contradict the word of God and what he says about you, how is your heart supposed to believe any of what the word of God says?
Right.
And that's why our minds need to be renewed, because that, do you know the saying, like, head knowledge versus heart knowledge?
I haven't heard it before, but that
hits, because you're reading things and you're like, well, I know this is true because this is what the Lord says about me, but because for so many years I have been believing lies, and I believe these word curses, and I believe these things that were said about me that is the opposite of what the Lord says about me, now my heart believes that to be true instead of believing the truth.
Yes.
And so you act out of that accordingly. Let's get real here. Like, with pornography, you don't just develop an addiction to pornography overnight. Like, you have a thought, and then this thought incites you to go look at this thing or go look at certain things that will feed those thoughts.
Yes.
And then now you have a lust issue because you're currently, you're going back to it again and again and again. And now you believe that you're just a lustful person.
Yeah.
And that this is how it is, and this is how it's gonna be, and that's it.
Oh, and it gets so, it evolves.
Yes, and it gets even worse. Yeah. Like,
no, that's good. That's good for real. Because you think about it, and like, say you are believing some of these things that the enemy will drop into your head. Like, you start thinking about nervousness. Like, where does nervousness come from? You know, I remember talking to my mom recently. And I'm like, Mom, I had this dream, and this was happening, and that was happening, and I was in this place that the Lord had put me in, but I just felt like I wasn't supposed to be there. And she's like, what you mean? She's like, what you mean? I'm like, yeah, I felt like a fraud. And she's like, yo, like, not only is that not God speaking to you, you not believing it, it's almost like you doubting the power of God. Because if he's called you, he's anointed you in this place, it ain't you, it ain't because of you. You feel me? You don't need to be thinking, oh, me. You need to be confident in him.
Yeah.
Which is why I told you, like, with the whole violin thing, like, if I'm playing and stuff like that, yeah, I may be have a little bit of jitters and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I know that when I start playing, the Lord is in that place.
Yeah.
He's right here with me. So it's like, I don't really need to be nervous.
Yeah.
A lot of times I'll be called to, like, speak in places or speak to someone, and, like, you know, my heart will start racing, and you know, you're not qualified. Oh, wait, you said something crazy.
But it's like, that gets me.
Know what I'm saying?
That gets me fired up, because, like, Amanda said this to me, the enemy will attack the places that you have the most anointing on.
Yes.
And we're just sitting here like, oh no, it's too hard. This is not what I'm supposed to be doing. Yeah. No, what are you, like, the Lord has given you something good. Why would he not want you to have that?
Yes.
And why would he not want you to fight for it? Like, what? That,
And use it for his glory.
Exactly. Like, reflect who he is. And so,
it's like, he know what he's doing.
Yeah.
He knows that he makes no mistakes. Like, people just say, they throw that around hollowly. Oh, God makes no mistakes. Do you really believe that?
Yeah.
Because if you really do, like, you'll walk in that for real.
Yeah.
You feel me? When you call to a place, or you in a place of anointing or whatever it is, you using your gift that he gave you.
Yeah.
You able to fully, truly walk in it. And it's funny because, like, even with this, like, I didn't really know what we were going to, like, where it was going to go. Mm-hmm. But it's like Holy Spirit, flow.
Yeah.
Do what you gotta do.
And that takes the pressure off of us.
Yeah.
Like,
we cooling.
So good. Like,
we cooling. You know, I'm just chilling. Just to kind of go a little bit deeper too, and to kind of talk about fear, I pulled this up. This is 2 Timothy 1:7, and it's like KJV version. It says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." You know, KJV says sound mind, and, you know, a lot of translations say that. But then you have other translations that will even say things like power, love, and of self-control. It's almost like if you don't have one, you're almost lacking the other. And so it's like, oh, you feel like you don't have power. You know, are you loving right? You feel like you don't have a sound mind. Like, are you loving right? Do you, is your power right? You feel me? You don't have self-control, different things like that. It kind of acts in accordance, but he gave us those things. And so he didn't give us fear. So it's like, okay, if I'm feeling fearful, which I feel like we've all felt that way at a point in time. If I'm feeling fearful, where did that come from? Where did that come from? Obviously, we know it didn't come from God. So it could have only came one other place. As we allow that fear to occupy us and occupy our spirit and different things like that, literally we're kind of turning away from the voice of God. And so not only with fear, I just kind of boil it down to being sensitive to the spirit, right? And so if you think about it, you know, you're in a situation where you may be listening to some crazy music, or somebody invites you to go out and, you know what I'm saying, you going out to this place knowing you're supposed to be here, or you feel me, you get this thought and you start acting on it. It's like, okay, what grounds does this fear have? It has the grounds that you're letting it have. You know, I know Rob Reimer, when he was here for Soul Care, he was talking about how at all times, at every waking second, every moment, you're giving grounds to either angels or demons always. You're either entertaining angels or demons always. Obviously, not just fear, you know, anxiety, lust, all those things.
Right.
When you're feeling those things, it's like, what's your life been looking like?
Yeah.
What you been getting? What you been filling yourself up
with?
Oh
my gosh, yes.
You feel me?
What are you watching? What are you listening to?
Not for real.
Who are you hanging out with?
Yeah.
Like, what are you giving room in your heart, in your head, your eyes? What are you opening up to?
Yes.
Because that is what's going to fuel your thoughts. That is what's going to become your truth. That is what is going to overflow out of your heart. That is what you are going to act out of. That we just talked about that. And that's so crazy, because I remember when I first started walking with the Lord, I was still fighting demons. Like,
yes,
I still had like mad anxiety. I could not sleep at night. It was horrible. And I remember my disciple at the time, Jewel, she asked me, shout out to Jewel, what you listening to? Bad Bunny? Do you know who Bad Bunny is?
Yeah.
Bad Bunny is
hands
down the most foul singer on this planet because he just like sings about drug, sex, money.
Yeah, like just straight unedifying stuff.
Yes, like that does not edify my spirit whatsoever.
And I mean, the Bible tells us to guard our heart, like to guard our eyes, our ears. And when you think about guarding something, like you're not going to guard something that's not valuable or that somebody's not trying to get. If nobody wants something, like if I throw a dirty sock on the table right now, nobody's going to guard
the opposite way.
Nobody's going to guard that sock. Like, it's just going to sit there. Nobody wants that sock. But if I put $5,000 right here or $1,000, like, oh, you best believe I'm going to have a safe. Like, I'm going to guard that. And so the thing is, like, it's telling you to guard your heart. It's important that we understand, like, okay, it's something worth guarding. That means that there is something that wants what's going on in here. It's something that wants access to my spirit. And if you've given it access to your spirit, you're giving it access to your thoughts. And what happens in the spirit, once it happens there, it begins to manifest itself in the physical, in the reality. And so now you're sitting here trying to figure out, like, why you got this hate in your heart? Why are you looking at these people like, oh, why they so happy all the time? Or you in your head, oh, this person ugly, or this and that, and this and that, or I'm ugly. You trying to figure out where them thoughts came from? Or you, like, take it as far as you want. You sitting there driving on the bridge, you like, boy, I'm about to, I'm coming up off this bridge. I think it's so important as men and women of God, like, as people trying to follow Jesus, fill yourself up with Jesus. I personally feel like you can never have too much.
Yes.
You can never have too much.
Yes.
And so you fill your spirit up.
Yes.
You change what you're listening to. You change what you're watching. You change the conversations that you're partaking in. Your thoughts will begin to change.
Yes.
You'll see more light. And then something that people have been telling me has been happening is, as you continue to walk with Jesus, your personal character, your flesh, the way that you feel like you were before Jesus, it slowly just fades away. You're going to look more
fall
like him.
Off. I wanted to touch on what you just said with John 10:9-10. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture.
Amen.
The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The enemy is out for our necks, and he's going to do it any way he can. Like, any literally any single way that he can, he will do it. Like,
you cannot even leave the door cracked a little bit for the man because he will swing it wide open. I just remember my sister, when we would go to the gym because we used to work out together, on the way there, I was not saved yet, so I wanted to put Bad Bunny and like reggaeton, which is just reggaeton, which is just that like same music, very sexual, perverse, promiscuous music. And she was like, nope, you will not be putting that jaunt in my car. We're going to be listening to worship music. I was like, it is not that deep. It's 1, 2, maybe 3 songs. It's a 15-minute ride to the gym. And she was like, no, we are not going to be listening to that. And now I get it. I barely listen to secular music. Maybe if I'm at a function or something, but in my car I strictly listen to worship music or Christian music because it does start making you feel some type of way. Like, it does reflect into your day-to-day life. Like,
yes,
it is not good. As someone who struggles with, like, who has struggled with lust for a long time, like, why would I continually put my soul in a position to listen to those things when I know what it's going to lead to and when I know what is going to inspire in me? Like, why would I do that? If I love the Lord, even in those moments where I'm alone, just myself listening to music, I want to honor him with that too.
Yes.
And also just protect the honoring him in the future, because if I don't honor him now, it's not definitely not going to happen in the future if I'm listening to this music that is going to lead me to fall into sin. Yeah. Like, which... yeah, I have seen a huge difference ever since I cut off secular music.
Yes.
Huge.
Yeah. The thing is, you really won't realize it until you sit there and you say, hey, God, let me give you this secular music for a week. Let's see what happens. The way that the spirit becomes magnified in that time, just so he gives you a taste of like, yo, like this what can happen when you truly buy into me. The thing that a lot of believers like will share, and, you know, it's important for all of us to understand, is that God never goes anywhere. I always would say, I'm trying to get closer to God. Well, the fact of the matter is, God is omnipotent and omnipresent. Mm-hmm. He doesn't go anywhere. He's always right there. But what does change is our awareness of that. You feel me? Sometimes we're not as aware that God is literally right here talking to me. And so it's like, okay, like we said, like, what are you letting into your spirit that's suppressing his voice? Are we every action, if we're always giving ground, are we magnifying his voice right now, or are we suppressing it? When we're listening to this secular music, like my boy Kelvin, shout out my boy Kelvin, bro. Yesterday he said, are we entertaining angels or demons? And when you listen to this secular music, this music ain't entertaining angels. They're not trying to hear this. God ain't pleased with what they talking about. But these demons is. So it's like, what really is we getting into? It's so much deeper than a lot of us ever understood. Like, how you're saying, oh, it's a 15-minute car. It's not that deep. Well, that's 15 minutes. Like, that this, you was entertaining these demons. You allowing them ground up into your life.
Yeah, instead
especially
of
if you ain't covered.
Giving it to the Lord.
Yes.
This is what gets me. Like, this John always gets a kick out of me. Lucifer was an angel of music.
Literally.
What do you think he's going to do after he's out of heaven that gift, because it was a gift the Lord gave him? Like, what do you think he's gonna try to do with that? He's gonna try to kill, destroy. Like,
yes. And let me say this too, like, because we're children of God, Satan, he can't really touch us in the way that he wants to.
Right.
But because we have the Holy Spirit living within us, and our tongue holds power.
Yep.
Holds the power of life and death.
Yep.
He's got a little bit of knowledge here and there. What he does is he uses this music and allows us to basically bind ourselves by using children of God, knowing we have power in our tongue to speak this stuff over ourselves and bind us in chains of the Spirit just by literally using our tongue.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, well, maybe I can't touch you because you're covered by the blood of Jesus, but at the same time, you know, I'm going to play this song and hopefully you'll basically, I'll give you enough rope to hang yourself right here by just having you say what I need you to
just
say.
Just declare it with your mouth. That's all I need you to do.
Not for, because if everything is spiritual, at some point, you're, like you said, it's a declaration. You're singing this and you're declaring this stuff. This is what I'm with.
Yes.
You feel me? And in the spirit, it's like, yo, hey, man, you said that, I'm over here. The power of life and death is in the tongue.
Yes.
And those who love it will eat its fruit. That's what the word of God says. And like I said, when the word of God says, it's really than your name being Vivi and my name being Mark. Like, y'all better lock
in.
It's
true.
You feel me?
Yeah.
If it's not crazy, I want to kind of like dive into the armor of God and like what each piece, what it really means.
Mm-hmm.
Feel me? Because, like I said, like, in the beginning, like, you know, a lot of people put on that armor God, put on that armor God. But what really are you putting on?
Yep.
We putting on that same armor God was putting on that Old Testament. And if Jesus was clothed in, like, you know, you don't enter a battleground without no armor. And even, like, you know, it's funny, the Lord's really beautiful, and you can see his character in everything. Yeah. And, like, you can see his presence in everything that he makes. Like, you look at sports, like football, for example. You don't send nobody out there with no helmet and no shoulder pads. Mm-hmm. You don't send them out there without they, quote unquote, armor.
Yeah.
You feel me? So why would he send us into a battle? The Bible calls it a battle. Why would he send us into a battle without our armor? He wouldn't do it. So I think it's important that we know what we're putting on and not just saying, Lord, like, put me in the armor of God.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll kind of just start verse 10 and then just kind of go through real fast. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Okay, so being strong in the Lord, you know, just to strip this down to its bare essence. We ain't talking about no push-ups. We ain't talking about, you know what I'm saying, going to the gym. Like, God got me. I'm in the gym. You feel me? The enemy can't touch me. Nah, bruh. Being strong in the Lord is basically, the Lord is a sense. He's a power source.
Mm-hmm.
And we're bringing our strength from him. We're getting our strength from him. So it says, be strong in the Lord. Like, we're obtaining our strength from this power source. And so Jesus left us with a spirit, and we're able to pull strength from it to stand against the trials and tribulations that stand in our way. That's kind of what I got in my notes about it.
Which, time out for a second. It really means every single ounce of that strength is derived from the Lord. Because I don't know, again, the verse, but where it says that we are made weak so that he can be made strong. Like, that he would be glorified through our weaknesses. It's so true, because do you ever notice, let's use school for an example. When you do school out of your own strength, when you do school out of whatever you got in you, it's nothing in comparison to when you put it, like, when you give it to the Lord and let him handle it. Like, you just do your part and you let the Lord do the rest. I even notice that when I don't give it to the Lord and I'm in architecture, when I try to make the best design, when I try to get the best grade in the test, when I, again, putting the focus on ourselves, I'm exhausted. I'm burnt out.
Yes.
And if we're being so for real, it's not even that good. Whereas when I derive it from the Lord, I feel free, I feel lighter, and it's probably better. Like, no, it is better than when I do it myself, but you got the scripture pulled up.
Well, before we get in, John 3:30, he must become greater, I must become less.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's funny that you brought that up, because it literally, I'll give like a quick story, like the shortened version as possible. I was basically struggling at a point in time with, like, you know, maybe getting help from people on certain mm-hmm. assignments and things like that. I'm chilling in this class and stuff like that. And they're like, oh, like, we got this test and things like that. And the Lord's dealing with me about, you know, just being a man of integrity and really locking in and doing your own stuff.
Yeah.
You know, this test comes out and stuff like that. And I'm like, God, like, I'm fully trusting you. I'm going to study. I'm going to ask that you show me whatever you need to show mm-hmm. me, and that you do whatever you need to do here. And so I remember that whole week I was fighting him. I'm like, Lord, like, I'm about to give up an A just, like, trying to be obedient to you. And so I go take this test, and I get a 66 or something like that. And I end up having an 85 in the class.
Okay.
And so I'm like, all right, bet. You know, I got an 85. That's calm. Like, it could have been so much worse than that. I could have got a 30 or something crazy like that. I'm sitting there, like, fighting with God before the test. And I'm like, all right, God, like, I appreciate you. You know what I'm saying? A 66 is calm. You know, I can deal with a beat. That's chill. And so, you know, I go into class the next day. These two girls, I come in late because I was having a conversation with somebody. And these two girls, they're like, Marv, like, we got some, God is crazy, bro. They're like, we got some good news for you. We're going to share it with you at the end of class. And I'm like, all right, bet. So, like, class is going. I'm like, y'all gonna tell me? They're like, bro, wait, like, be patient. And the class comes. And the teacher's like, yeah, guys, you know, the tests are currently 30% each or 20% each. The final's 30%. The homework is 30%. He said, but I'm thinking about it. Mind you, this is general physics. Like, this is a big time class. Bro goes, yeah, I'm thinking about moving the test, the first two tests down from 20%, from 30% to 20. And I'm going to move the homework up from 30 to 60. My homework average is a 97.
Dog.
I just wrapped that class up yesterday. I finished with an A.
That's insane.
So.
So listen to the Lord.
Not for real.
So.
Not for real.
What?
Yeah, you can't make that up. Like, this is general physics. This isn't like some elective class with, you know, Ray, my professor's teacher is like, oh, hey, they curve all our grit. No.
To go back to this verse, like, that meant screwing up your ego a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that meant you gotta get a 66.
Yeah.
That meant you gotta get an 85 in the class instead of an A. And you was, like, the Lord was like, this really is not about you.
Yeah.
Because had I not changed this man's heart to change the percentages in the class, like... Yes. Had I not even given you the intelligence to get even that grade in your class, none of this would have been possible.
None.
So,
and so that's the thing. Like, as you begin to get closer with Jesus and you begin to, he starts to like overfill your cup with belief. It's like you read his word and it's like, God, like, I can't even compromise nothing.
No.
I can't compromise the smallest of things. Like, if your word says this and I believe you are who you say you are, the Bible says he's not a man who should lie.
Yeah.
Like, I believe who you say you are. I gotta do this.
Yeah.
I gotta be a man of integrity.
Yeah.
The small things to him is so big. To us, it's like, it's nothing. If you think about it like a circle, right? And God is in the middle. God's perfect will for you is in the middle. A lot of times, like, we be trying to stay from the edge of the circle, which is sin. But we like, yo, as long as we in the circle, we good. Like, even if we on that line, you feel me? Like, we hovering on that line.
Yeah.
Nah, bro, you shouldn't be trying to be in the circle. You should be as close to the middle as you possibly can be.
Yup.
That should
Anthony
be the
has talked about that, how human nature is, like, how close to the line can we get?
Not for real.
No, like, how close to the Lord can we get? And it's just,
that's
like,
tripping, bro.
People might look at us and be like, wow, that's really radical. You're doing too much. You really, like, you're, whatever they want to say. Yeah, and what about it? I need to do everything the Lord says.
Unashamed.
Because, like, he's everything to me.
Yes.
Like, I love him, and he gave up everything for me, so I want to give up everything for him. Like, and to be honest, like, it starts to leave a distaste in your mouth. Again, I don't know the scripture, but I think it's in the Psalms, and it talks about when you're starving, you'll eat the most gross thing ever, but when you are satisfied, even the sweetest honey you don't crave.
Yeah.
You don't crave.
Yeah.
Because you know what's good. Like, you've tasted and you've seen and you're satisfied in the Lord, so why would you even crave the things of the world?
I live in water. They do hit different.
Come on now.
I'm trying to tell you. Nah, like, I'm heavy on that distaste. Like, bro, we're always on the cutting table. You gotta work with me when I say this. We always on the cutting table. God is the best doctor.
Mm-hmm.
He's the best surgeon.
Yeah.
And so he's sitting here trying to cut us and, like, make different things happen. There's a podcast I was listening to, ironically, and they said this. When you try to get up with open wounds, like, you're gonna leave yourself more exposed. Bro, just let him keep cutting.
Yeah.
And so you ask him, you humble yourself and, like, Lord, forgive me of my shortcomings, the ones I know about and I don't know about. And the one I don't know about, like, bring it to the light so I do.
Heavy
and you have that, you have that heart posture toward the Lord, and it's like you constantly chasing perfection.
Yep.
It's a lifelong chase.
Yep.
And so he continues to bring those things up to you, and it's like, yo, you sitting here pointing a finger, bro, you got three fingers pointing back at yourself, and a thumb pointing up as the Lord is witness, like, what you doing?
The one with the...
Yeah, with,
like,
the thing in his
eye. What you doing looking at the log, like, at the splinter or whatever in somebody else's eye when you got a log in your eye,
like a whole log.
Yeah.
And, like, the
you
Lord
have
is,
a tree trunk up in your eye,
real.
You're like, you have a leaf.
Nah, for real. It's like, bro, what you doing, bro? Like, do it different. And so it's like, to God... Like we said, like, no, nothing is, it's not about a sizing thing. Oh, this sin bigger than this one.
Mm-hmm.
But he don't care about that. We all sinful.
My favorite, as an architecture major, my favorite analogy is to tell people, we see sin. Imagine New York. We're walking through New York and we're looking at the buildings. Oh, this one's shorter. This one's bigger. This one's smaller. But the Lord sees it from bird's eye view, which is from the top.
From looking straight down.
He just looking at same size squares.
2D.
That's it.
2D.
And we are over here like, oh, this one's bigger. No. To the Lord, it's all the same. Like, a sin is a sin. They all put him on the cross.
Yeah.
They all killed him. Because of every single sin, he had to go through all of that. So...
Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about, even in Ephesians, ironically, I'll just read it for real. verse 19, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be mm-hmm. given me so that mm-hmm. I fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. So I want to emphasize the last four words, the mystery of, well, mystery of the gospel. I just want to say thank you, Holy Spirit, because this whole living, breathing word is filled with mysteries from the kingdom of heaven, like yep. a bunch of mysteries. The revelation that you get as you begin to continue to walk with
yes.
him is crazy. Yes. Like, it's insane. And it's like, yo, this what you trying so to say? Good. Like, thank you, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And that really, like a renewal of your mind, like that's yes. real. Like, even what you just said, if you never picked up the word in your life and you just lived in the world, like you're going to be like, yo, this sin is bigger than this one. This one is bigger than this. This person worse than this person worse than that. But it's like, as you begin to walk in light, as you begin to basically eat the bread of life, like you sitting here soaking in the word, your mind truly is yeah. renewed and changed.
Yeah.
And it's like, yo, nah, like you're tripping. Just because I may have told a little white lie and this person over here doing something else, like it ain't no balance yeah. of scale. You feel me?
Yeah.
It's the same. It's the same in the eyes of the Lord. Every sin that we do can not only separate, like not necessarily separate us from him, but like kind of quiet his voice yeah. down, and then kind of just back into this, it gives grounds for spiritual warfare.
Yep. Yes. I remember watching murder documentaries with my sister.
Sheesh.
And I would just be like, this is before Jesus, but I would just dog on these murderers, bro. Yeah. Like, they should have never been born. All this horrible stuff. And my sister was like, yo, like, have grace. Because that could have easily been us.
Thank you, sis.
Like,
no bull.
Like, you, that could have easily been me. This is just demonic grounds being given.
Broken
versus world. The Lord's blood is on us and we continue to seek him daily.
No, for real.
And like I said, I wasn't saved. Like, I grew up Christian, but I didn't give my life to Jesus until literally last year. But yeah, it's so true. Like, the worst, quote unquote, worst person you can think of, give grace to them, because that could easily be you.
Not
like
for
that,
real.
You are not that way because of the grace of God and yes. the sacrifice that was made on the cross.
Yeah. It ain't
like,
that far away when you're living in
yep,
the world.
Yep.
It really ain't.
Yep. And even living as a Christian, if you are not aware of what is going on around you, like if you are not aware of the spiritual realm, if you are not aware of the loopholes and the gateways of how things can change like this, like at the snap of a finger, then that can easily be you too.
Yes.
You one second you're lying, the next second you are stealing or, I don't know, cheating on somebody. You're
not for real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we definitely gonna get back to this, but you know, eventually. But before that, like you talked about loopholes really fast and like just different ways of not knowing. The Bible says many people will be deceived. And so what is deception? Deception means you did not know. You were doing this and you did not know. It wasn't saying, sitting here, oh, hey, come play with me.
Uh-huh.
With a sign up in his front yard and everybody like, oh, you know. And I'm getting twisted. Some people go do that. But,
yeah.
You know, it's deception. Like, okay, how can we make sure that we're not being deceived, that other people aren't being deceived? You have to ask for discernment, revelation.
Yeah.
There's a specific thing that a few of my friends and stuff like that, they laugh anytime they hear about it because they know 9 times out of 10, I'm always gonna have something to say. And that's with stuff like yoga or like Reiki
yeah.
and stuff like that. Like I had a professor, we had a guest speaker come in one day and you know, she was just talking about a lot of stuff. And I don't know if you know, but like the word yoga, like in Sanskrit means to yoke. It's like, yo, what we yoking to, bro? Like, yoke to what?
Oh.
And the thing is funny because like I wrote this like report that I never intended to turn in anywhere. It's just for like when I have a conversation about yoga mm-hmm. to people, because it always starts like, bro, what are you talking about? It's literally yoga. We're stretching. But nah, bro, it's deeper than that. The first thing she said was like, people think this Indian stretching is not just that, you know. And you get in deeper into what it's doing and like these different pearls of wisdom and stuff like that that you're doing, that's like literally these positions of worship to
yes.
these idols of a different religion.
Yes.
And so another thing Rob Reimer had said, when you are worshiping different religions, like you're glorifying idols essentially.
Yeah.
I mean, not idols, demons. You're glorifying demons. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Same thing.
Yeah, same literally thing. Yeah. It, literally the same thing.
Demonic.
Just had to like lay it down, you know what I'm saying, for anybody. who wasn't following, but she began to talk about the energy that you can pull in from doing certain yoga positions, like Warrior Two, for example, like hand out in front, hand out in the back, and then like in a lunge position. I know a lot of y'all probably seen that before. I was like, yo, I know I can do a way better stretch than that. Like whatever that's stretching, I can find something that's stretching me better than that. And so she's like, it's not about stretching. It's about the energy you're bringing in from the energy field, and you're bringing that, you're harnessing the same energy the Egyptians were using with the pyramids and all this other stuff. I'm sitting there like, huh, really? And she probably thought I was like I was looking mad interested when I was talking to her, because I just wanted her to continue to talk.
That's crazy.
She probably thought I wanted to be like the best yoga instructor ever. So many questions, but
no, just, I'm trying to stay away from that.
Nah, for real,
what I'm
trying to do. It's like it's about revelation for real. And I'd say, like, test the spirit by the spirit. When you hear something and it's not hitting with your spirit, right? Get in your word, see what your word says before you go out here. Anytime you see the word spiritual attached to something, test the spirit by the spirit. That should go off in your mind immediately. Yep. Test the spirit by the spirit.
Yep.
Is this of God or is it of something else?
Yep.
And if it's not of God, it's deception. So don't be out here getting deceived.
Yep.
You better stay prayed up. Better stay with that word on you. Yeah, but walk by faith and not by sight. And do hit different. It's very important. Mm. So
true.
Yeah, so back to the word. Verse 11, put on the full armor of God. His armor is like that of a heavily armed soldier. It goes on and says, so that you may successfully stand up against the schemes and the strategies and deceits of the devil. And so my notes have, like, bro is steady scheming. He's always, or at least he's like always trying to.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? He's always scheming. He's been around since the garden and before. And so he's seen a lot of people. He's seen a lot of ways to trick people.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, you try to fight them by yourself. You know what I'm saying? You mess around and get cooked. But the thing is, you got that Holy Spirit living within you. He is no match.
Mm-mm.
He's no match.
Please be so for
it. It's nothing to be afraid of. You feel me? It ain't nothing to be afraid of. Yep. You got the Holy Spirit with you. You hold the authority in this moment because the Spirit of God is living inside of you.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
Yeah.
You know.
And we don't... I remember listening to a podcast once where this ex-Satanist...
Yeah. I was going to bring something up. Like, that's crazy that you say that.
This ex-Satanist who used to do, like, Santeria and, like, all this stuff. Literally right-hand man of Satan himself.
Yeah.
He would be saying something... He said something along the lines of, like, it's not that Christians don't have power. They have so much power. Ooh. They have so much authority. Ooh. Like, they could really be gone with us if they wanted to.
Not for real.
But they don't walk in that authority.
Not for ever. Real.
And they, like, take it for granted.
Yes.
And that is so true. Like, we be playing too much. Like, we don't be... He said also something along the lines of, like, we don't acknowledge the spiritual warfare that's going on around us. And they take that to their advantage.
No word. Bro, people will get caught up in reading the Bible like a storybook, a book of stories. Oh, that's cool. These three hopped in the fire and they came out. Oh, that's good story. Oh, bro was in a fish
for 3 days.
Oh, it's cool. It's cool. Yeah, he said, let there be light. And there was light. Yeah, moral compass. I got it. And like, yeah, that's all you're going to get from it is a moral compass. Like,
crazy.
But when you start to read the Bible, like, it's true because it is, you have no choice but to accept everything that comes with it. And so when you read what the Word of God says, like the Bible calls it a sword of the Spirit. This thing right here, like it's the keys to everything, both physical and spiritual.
Yep.
The things that you can and can't see.
Yep.
The thing is that we have to understand is that as Christians, we're called to be more devoted than any person of any other religion.
Yeah.
We're called
to be more. And you got it in you.
Not
I
word.
See you waking up at 5 in the morning to go train for football.
Oh,
I see you going to sleep at 7 a.m. to finish that assignment and study for that test. You got devotion in you. Now it's time for you to give it to the Lord.
Harness it. Steward it properly. And it's like, not only are we expected to be more devoted than anybody else as Christian men and women, but we're expected to be more spiritual than anybody else. You feel me? We're expected to be more powerful than any witch or sorcerer or anything.
Yeah.
Like, as a Christian, we have full grounds to walk in that light, walk in that purpose, because the Lord has given us that. He's given us that with His Spirit.
And I think, like, at least for, I guess, my parents, like, one of the biggest damaging things they did to them in the church was tell them, that this magic and this sorcery and all this stuff was not real.
Man, I see they chirping, bro. Don't go to Africa.
That's what I'm saying. Like, no, it's real. Is it more powerful than my God? Absolutely not. But if I fall into this deceit that it is not real, you best believe it's gonna get me, because I'm not gonna be able to walk into in the authority that Christ gave me. Yes. It's real.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Like, the church for a very long time was just like, no, that just doesn't happen. It's just not real. And so obviously they're gonna go and try and find it somewhere else. What the Lord has is so much better. And it just boggles my mind.
There are men and women out here who truly believe that the gifts of the Spirit don't exist. I thought, like, you don't know how many conversations I've had about about the tongues of the Holy Ghost or spiritual healing or anything like that. Like,
no.
But see, what they have to understand, they're like, oh, like, hey, heal this for me right now. And it's like, okay, like, you sit here, you try to heal these people or whatever through the power of Jesus, and it's like, nothing's happening. Why? Jesus goes back to his hometown in Nazareth. He's like, yo, they have no faith. Like, I'm not even, like, messing with them right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not even about to be doing stuff because their faith is so little. Yeah. So you sit here and you have somebody who's like, oh, well, is God gonna do this? Like, bro, you have no faith. Like, you have no faith.
Your
like,
faith is on me.
Be I'm so saying, good. What you mean? Like, what are we doing here, bro? Like you said, people craving that supernatural.
Yeah.
They crave that supernatural. Even men and women of God.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Like, this is something I had to deal with too. Like, yo, are you in it for the signs and wonders? Like, yeah. Like Jesus was like literally talking to me. He's like, bro, you people will not believe me unless like you see signs and wonders.
Yeah. Jesus is not a performer.
Nah, for real. Like, that's not what we in this for. Yeah. We in this because he laid his life down for us.
Yep.
It's like, yo, it should be enough to just be with him. And the signs and wonders happen to be along the way. Yep. We're not in the journey for the signs and wonders. We get the signs and wonders from walking the journey.
Yeah.
It's just a deeper faith and deeper belief. Mm-hmm. You know, it's deeper belief that I feel like the Lord is calling all of us to have a deeper faith and a deeper belief, because he's infinitely deep. He's infinitely dimensional. He fits in no box.
So good.
He don't fit in no box, man. You can't put him in one.
Get rid of your box, please.
I'm saying, you try to put him in one, you're going to tear it down.
Please.
Have you confused and baffled, like what?
Yeah.
Like, this how you moving?
Exactly.
Nah, word. But let me go ahead and crush these verses right quick. 12 and 13. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Like, that's what needs to be taken from that. We've talked about this for an hour. It's against the spiritual forces in the heavenly or supernatural realms. So therefore, put on the complete armor of God so that you will fully be able to and successfully resist and stand your ground in the day of danger. And having done everything, to stand firm, fully prepared, immovable, victorious. It's mean our struggle. There's no struggle that you can go through that derives from the physical. We talked about it. Like, it's all about the root. It's something that's happened in the spirit first before it happens in the physical. Mm-hmm. And you have to attend to it spiritually.
Address it.
Yeah. You got to. Struggle, like, we talk about struggle, physical struggle. Like, oh, I'm struggling. Like, these are things that, like, eventually, you know what I'm saying, you begin not to take thoughts captive, you begin to struggle, you begin to start suffering from anxiety, depression, fear, tension, panic. And when the Lord created us in his image, he did not give us those things.
Yeah.
So it's important to understand, like, yo, you struggling with these things, there is something happening. Yep. You're going through spiritual warfare. Yep. So
this was not the original design.
Not for real. Like, what? Mm-hmm. And which means, if you're feeling that way, this is my notes, it's because of something. If you're feeling that way because of something in the physical, that physical is being used by the devil to manipulate you. Mm. And the devil will use that what you let him. Verse 14, what really is the spirit? The spiritual armor. So we got the belt of truth. It talks about personal integrity and courage. That's big. The breastplate of righteousness in place, an upright heart posture fixed toward the righteousness of the King. We're here to carry out a purpose. We're here on a mission. We're here on assignment. That breastplate of righteousness is key in trying to carry that out. Always.
Come on.
Feet fitted with the readiness from the gospel of peace. Face the enemy's schemes with firm-footed stability and the readiness produced by the good news of Jesus. Come on. That's big. Mm. That's big time right there. The gospel of peace. Mm. The shield of faith, our strength in God's character, protects us from the tactics of the evil one. The Bible talks about being able to extinguish extinguish the arrows of the evil one and stuff like that, you know? And so having that shield of faith, like, what does a shield do? It protects you from any type of, like, arrows or bullets or anything like that, any type of, like, weaponry. The helmet of salvation. We can avoid evil thoughts and understand what is good and true to aid us on our walk. Taking every thought captive. Taking every thought captive, that helmet of salvation is key. We need that in this battle. Yeah. It's very important because where does it start? It starts in the mind. You have the helmet of salvation, you're able to put to bed any of that stuff as soon as it gets there.
Yep.
And then finally, last but not least, the sword of the spirit, the word of God, and its role as a sword to sever in the spirit in spiritual warfare.
Yeah. Stay strapped, guys, man, with the word
what,
of God.
Man, well, we be freestyling, me and my homeboys, we be holy rapping. And you know what I'm saying? we steady talking about something. Yeah, we keep it on me. It's the word. Like,
yeah.
And we ain't talking about no gun. We ain't talking about that. We keep this word on me. This is my weapon. Mm-hmm. This is my sword. This is what I do work with. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? Them demons come, I got something for them. Yep. It stay on the hip. It stay in the backpack. You feel me?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's
that
word.
I got a Bible in the studio.
Nah, for real.
Because it is that deep.
Nah, for real. It's that deep. It's deeper than that deep.
It's deeper it's than deeper that deep. Than that come deep. On.
Nah, for real. For 18 through 20, and pray in the spirit of all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests with this in mind. Be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me. I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. That right there is big. The Bible says pray in the spirit about all things. Everything.
Yep.
Nothing is too big or too small. The work is done in the word and the work is done in prayer.
Yeah.
Like.
Everything. It's so funny because the other day, I'm finishing a final for architecture, and I asked the Lord, should I do this on my drawing, or should I do this on my drawing?
Everything.
Like, everything. It's really not that small. Like, it's not small. Like,
and inviting him into small places. In
yes.
your life. Like, God, I ain't gonna lie, what should I wear today?
Yes, I do that all the time. It's my favorite thing to do. And he'd be pulling out fits that I'm like, I would have never thought of that.
No, word. God, what are we doing here? I don't really see this bitch. You step in the mirror, you're like, bro, I'm fresh, bro.
Yes. And I'm it's like that with everything. Like, people who are married now and they let the Lord write their stories, they never would have thought that's how they would have come together.
Man, what?
Like,
I'm trying to tell you, bro. Nah, quick touch on that. Like, I made this P31 list recently. Like, just has all the qualities of, like, any woman that I would be looking for.
As you should.
And things like that. And I just prayed. I'm like, Lord, like, you know, the things that I didn't put on this list that you know that I need. In the spirit, like, you know what I'm saying? Right. You already know. You feel me? So I invite you to come and edit this list. Even if I don't see the edits, like, right. I invite you to come and edit it to properly fit. And so the thing with my pastor, shout out my guy EL at the Vaughn. My pastor, he talked about how he did it, and he said he got done writing it, and a man of God asked him, he said, are you a man who's ready to lead a woman like that? Crazy.
Dang.
Crazy.
That's so crazy.
You feel me? So
that's so funny, because when I did my list, I looked at it, and the Lord was like, now how many of those qualities do you have? And I was like, okay. That's what we're doing right now.
Nah, for real. Because when we think about somebody that we'd like to spend the rest of our life with, you know, we're still young and things like that. But at the same time, it's like, yo, after year two, year three, that honeymoon phase up out of there, you know. Shout out my guy,
Year one. Year two. Nah, that honeymoon phase is going to last 3 months. That's it. Nah, like, what real. Do you think?
And so it's like EL, he was telling us, he was like, yo, like, your marriage, if it was the whole outside of this table, like, it's this much. Yep. It's a tiny little bit. Because you have to learn how to, like, live with someone. Like, that morning breath that didn't bother you at first. Like, I was like, oh, honey, you still beautiful, bro. By month 4 or 5, like, nah. Like,
go brush like, your teeth right now.
Nah, for real. Like, what we got going on? Like, hold on, go brush your teeth, and then we'll talk. You know, it's crazy. But pray in the spirit about all things. You know, I literally asked the Lord to come into every room. What did y'all say? Come and consume.
Hey.
Every room. Hey. It all belongs to you. Like, that's real. Yeah. That's real deal.
Yep.
Like, you can have it all. Take it all. Take it's it yours. All. It belongs to you. It really does. It don't belong to me. I don't want it. So I think we better wrap up.
Yeah. I'm going to pray us out really quick. Okay. Or do you want to do it, Marv?
We both can. You can. Whatever okay. you want to do.
We can do a little bit both. Anyways.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus, for this time, Lord. I thank you for speaking, God, for giving us your word, for leading this conversation, Lord. And we just pray, God, that anything that is of you would stick and would be, like, written in these people's hearts. Like, yes, whether God. That be scripture, whether that be points you want to get across, Lord, in anything and everything that wasn't from you, God, would you just, like, erase from people's minds, and like that people wouldn't live by that, Lord. But we pray that this was fruitful, Lord, and we just give you all the glory, and we thank you for it, Jesus.
And Father, I just ask that everyone under the sound of my voice, I'm including myself, Lord God, you just begin to give them revelation about what this armor of God is, Lord, and how they can apply it each and every day and in each and every setting and facet of their life, Lord God. Lord, we thank you that you're merciful and that you're gracious, Lord God. Mm-hmm. And we thank you for revelation from your spirit, Lord. Lord God, we just appreciate you, Lord God, and we thank you for allowing us to have a platform just to be real and be vulnerable and just to speak our truths in you. And who we are in you, Lord God, and that we aren't ashamed, Father. We just thank you for where you brought us and where you will continue to take us, because your word says once you pick up a good work, you don't put it down, Father.
Yeah.
And Lord God, everybody under the sound of this voice, Lord God, I just pray that you wrap your arms around them and that you just... you lead them to begin to make disciples, who make disciples of all nations, Lord God, to just begin to ignite a revival, not only, you know, here at Virginia Tech, but just nationally, Lord. And I also pray for those who are going on missions trips and those who have internships, Lord, because just because there's not the word mission in front of it doesn't mean mm-hmm. you're not sending them on a mission. Doesn't mm-hmm. mean that they won't be going elsewhere to preach the word, Lord God, whether that be in California, New Mexico, Texas, whether that be in Bora Bora or anywhere in Africa, wherever yes, you lead us to go, Lord God. I just pray that you allow us to walk by faith and not by sight, Lord God, and that you provide an abundance, Lord God, from the Holy Ghost of fire that consumes us and just flows through us. And that when people see us, even if we're not sitting there giving them scripture, when people see us, they see you in us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen.
Amen. So, guys, would you go ahead and give us a follow on our Instagram handle, which is DevotedPod. Tell your mom about it, tell your dad about it, tell your sister about it, your brother, send it to all your friends, your professors, send it to everybody.
Professors, bro.
We hope you enjoyed this, and make sure to check out vtxa.com for any updates and news and anything like that. So we hope you enjoyed and had a great time. We love you. Have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in to Devoted Podcast. To learn more about Virginia Tech Chi Alpha, please follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Also, make sure to check out our podcast Instagram at DevotedPod. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to share it using the hashtag DevotedPod. We'll see you next time.